We are the Forsaken. Forsaken.
You're listening to a Corpse Run Radio minicast.
Welcome to the lab of the Forsaken. We are working on some new experiments. Hope you enjoy your stay.
From collecting to leveling to battling, welcome to Lita's Littlest Pet Shop for all of your pet battling needs.
Hello, sweeties, and you know what time it is. That's right, it's pet battling time. Yay! Well, what are we going to talk about today? I thought we would talk about one of the new cute little pets that has come out with the Warlords of Draenor. Now, this one is called the Shadow Sporebat, and it is from the Flying family. And you can find this in the northeastern area of Zangara in Talador. Now, apparently, from things that I've heard and read, that this pet can be extremely hard to come by. The spawn rate seems to be not so good. So let's have a look at its pet battle information. So, slot 1 abilities. First off, at level 1, there is Slicing Wind. This is 100% hit chance. It attacks the enemy with 1 to 3 blades of wind, dealing flying damage per attack. Now, this is good against aquatics and not so good against dragonkin. Then at level 10, there is Shadow Slash, and this is 100% hit chance. It slashes at the target with dark energy, dealing undead damage. This is good against humanoids and not so great against aquatic. Then the slot 2 abilities. At level 2, there is Creeping Fungus. This is 100% hit chance, and a creeping fungus infects the target, causing undead damage each round for 4 rounds. Deals additional damage in moonlight. This is good against humanoids and not so great against aquatic. Then at level 15, there is Leech Seed. 4 round cooldown. This is 100% hit chance. Plants a seed in the target, instantly dealing elemental damage and restoring health to the user. The seed lasts for 1 round. Each round, the seed deals elemental damage and restores that damage as health to the user. Now, this is great against mechanical and not so good against critters. Now, the slot 3 abilities. At level 4, we get Spore Shrooms. This is a 2-round cooldown. 100% hit chance. Places a mushroom near the enemy team. It grows for 2 rounds, then unleashes a cloud of spores. The spore cloud infects the front pet, dealing elemental damage every round for 3 rounds. Now, this is great against mechanical and not so good against critters. Then at level 20, we have a Barbed Stinger. 100% hit chance. This will instantly deal beast damage and has a 20% chance to poison the target for additional elemental damage per round for 1 round. This is good against critters and not so good against flying. Now, the passive ability for a flying pet is flying creatures gain 50% extra speed while above 50% health. And the other thing you need to remember is damage taken 50% up from magic abilities and 33% down from beast abilities. Anyway, that is all from me today. I hope you have great fun with your pet battles and your pet collecting, and we will talk to you later. Bye!
Hello, this is Grant Nagus, and today I want to talk about the Barons. I'm not sure how I'm going to do this yet, but since we really have three Barons in the game, we have the old Barons, and we have the post-Cataclysm Northern and Southern Barons. So it might be that if it gets a little long, this segment, I might split it up into two. Let's start off with the original Barons. When you originally hear the name Barons and you've been playing for a little while, you've experienced the vanilla classic WoW, you'll immediately, I would guess, think back to the Barons chat, Crossroads, and all the good fighting, the alliance that get over with the boat from either Booty Bay to Ratchet, or they make their way with the boat from Manithil Harbor to Theramore, which back then still was a thing, and then made their way through Duthwaller Marsh, and then came up and attacked Crossroads. It was really a great PvP experience back in the day when there was nothing that was called Battlegrounds, so we had to find our own method of doing PvP. One was the South Shore versus Terran Mill on the Eastern Kingdoms continent, and the Kalimdor equivalent, not quite but almost, was the attack on or defense of Crossroads. I want to tie in a little to the post-Cataclysm changes in that quite a few of the settlements have stayed the same. So what we have basically are the major settlements of, as I said, Crossroads and Ratchet. We do have 3 5-man dungeons. That hasn't changed either, although the Razorfen instances are now geographically part of Thousand Needles. So what we have is the Wailing Caverns, which is located southwest of Crossroads. And if you go into the now Southern Barrens, all the way down to the border between Southern Barrens and Thousand Needles, you'll find Razorfen Crawl and Razorfen Downs. There are quite a few fly points, and I'm going to stick with the new ones since the old ones aren't obviously available anymore. In the Northern Barrens, we have the neutral flight point of Ratchet, and we have the 3 Horde flight points, Crossroads, Morshan Rampart, and Nothelpot's Outpost. In the Southern Barrens, we have the Alliance flight point of Fort Triumph, Honor's Stand, North Watch Hold, and the Horde flight points of Desolation Hold, Hunter's Hill, and Vendetta Point. There are no neutral flight points in the Southern Barrens. Back in the day before the Sundering, the Barrens were much like Ashen Vale, a forestish kind of zone, but then after the Big Sundering, it pretty much turned into a savanna, just like we know it now. We also have a alliance presence. One is the excavation site that is called Baal Mudan, a Titan-related excavation that the Explorers League are running and still do, even after the Cataclysm happened. The other are a couple of bases that the Alliance have been working out from over the time, most noticeably the North Watch Hold, which is located in the now Southern Barrens, but I think I'm going to talk about that next week. If you have any questions or suggestions, tweet me at GrandNegus1, write me an email at towerofcommerce@gmail.com, and with thanks to Raven from Clan of Darkness for suggesting the Barrens as a zone to cover. This has been Grand Negus, Rule of Acquisition, number 19. Satisfaction is not guaranteed. Bye, guys.
Hello, guys. This is Durans Movies, and today I got another World of Warcraft lore lesson. Now, the main topic of this video is going to be about the Pale Orcs, but I will expand a bit on the subject so that you get like a full understanding of the entire situation. So I'll talk a bit about the Shaman, the Naru, the Void, the Shadowmoon Clan, and all the things related to it. So without further ado, let's just get into the lore. So the Orcish culture is big and quite an interesting culture, and the Shaman is the central part of it. Now, for thousands of years, the Orcs have been communicating with the spirits of the elements of the world, but everything changed when the Draenei came to the world of Draenor. Now, they have been escaping from the Burning Legion from the world of Argus for thousands of years now, and they finally found a world that they can settle in and hide from the Burning Legion. Now, of course, they didn't just show up casually, they didn't just stroll into the world. They crash-landed just like they did on Azeroth, although not in the same magnitude because there was like a complete crash on Azeroth, but they made this huge dent in the Grand with their ship called Jenadar, or later on referred to by the Orcs as Oshugun. Now, even though for the Draenei it was just a ship, or at least it wasn't really anything super crazy for them, the Orcs saw it in a different light, and for years it was the most revered place for them, and if any Orc wished to communicate with the ancient spirits, a journey to the Oshugun was necessary. Now, within its halls, within the halls of Oshugun, there was the dying Naru Kurei, which was there in the actual universe. You can see him in the Burning Crusade. But the actual alternate universe is quite similar, although with the addition of the Dark Star and some of the other stuff. Now, the Dark Star itself can be a video on its own, which is why I'm not going to try to give you too much information. I'll just try to simplify it for you guys, so you kind of get the understanding of what's going on. Now, when they were traveling with the mysterious Naru, who were accompanying the Draenei for years now, and one of the Narus was Kara. And I have an old video on the Naru if you want to learn more about them and what they are and all about that, but in a sense, the Naru are these majestic, mysterious creatures of pure light. But when they're dying, they do this complete like 180 and they turn into these sort of, you can call them, the Void Gods, and they're completely like the opposite of the light. Now, the Void itself is also another video on its own, and it's a complicated matter that has a lot of speculation going on about it. And there is just so much stuff to learn about it, just like the Titans, the old gods and everything like that, that doesn't have too much information. But in a sense, it is just quite a dark place, and even though it is energetic in nature, it is actually a reachable plane. And the Void is used by the Warlocks, or the Void, or the Dark Shamans, who use it to enslave the elements, and also the Valkyr used it to resurrect souls from it. So, to make it simple, it is quite a wild and a dark place, and not something where you want to be. And here is what happened. When Jendara was crashing, a Naru called Kara was ejected, and was in quite a bad state, and at the time he has entered the cycle of the Naru's life, where they turn into these sort of Void Gods, and the Shadowmoon Clan started studying it. Now, the Shadowmoon Clan has always been this shamanistic clan. They were always good with the stars, the spirits, and they were quite an astronomical clan, if you could say that. But this was nothing like they have seen before. And of course, if they just asked their Draenei neighbors what was going on, they would have gotten much more insight, but instead, they knew that they could handle it on their own. And once they discovered how evil the powers of the Void can be and how it defiles the ancestors, they completely forbade its powers. The clan members called it different names, the Dark Mother and all sorts of like different names, but the chieftain called it the Dark Star, and made a super strict law in the clan against anyone ever touching upon the powers of the Void, which lasted for quite a long time until the Iron Horde came, and they told the Shadowmoon clan to join them, but instead, with the help of Garrosh, the advisor to Grom and Shellscream, they wanted something more than just the actual clan, so they told them they're either going to join them and offer them power, or they're gonna die. So Ner'zhul was forced to have something of power to offer to the Iron Horde. So even though no one really liked his decision, he broke the ancient laws and dabbled into the powers of the Void, making himself much more powerful. Now, at this point in the video, you're probably wondering what does this have to do with the Pale, but trust me, it does, and it is quite related to the Void and this entire Dark Star thing. Now, the shaman themselves have certain rituals, and when the orc is experienced and wise enough and is of certain age, he has to undertake a pilgrimage to the throne of the elements in order to receive a blessing and, like, truly become a shaman of their own. And that is, like, the riskiest part in their lives, as they encounter many different visions. However, certain shaman who are just not ready or not strong enough succumb to the whispers of the shadow and they become the pale orcs, or a shell of their former selves. They hate everything that is holy and the light, and they turn into these nasty wild creatures with pale skin and other deformities. Their mind is almost completely gone and they're considered mad, and also their ability to speak isn't as it used to be before. And now they're just living in all these dark places and caves waiting for someone to fall into their trap. Now, it is suggested that the Shadowmoon clan actually saw this pale orc thing coming, and that is the exact same reason why they forbade the Dark Star and their clan members using the powers of the Void. Now, it is also said that the Naru in their dark cycle are responsible for this, and even though they're known to draw upon the spirits of the dead, here on Draenor in the alternate version they can also draw upon the spirits of the living, for example for the orcs turning themselves into the pale orcs. Now, even though the Pale don't really look like much, they kinda look like the wretched Blood Elves who weren't really all that powerful. The Pale here are actually quite powerful, even though, as I said, they don't really look like it. And they can draw upon the powers of the fallen Naru Kure, who is inside Oshogun. And they're able to enslave Earth Elementals like Tectus, for example, who is a boss in Hymol. Now, when the Ogre Cho'Gall, who was a part of the Shadow Council, was sent to explore the power potential by Gul'dan, he actually betrayed Gul'dan once he discovered the power of the Naru, and he also discovered the Pale Orcs who caught his attention. Now later on, you can see this entire army of the Pale, as I explained in the previous video about the Gorian Empire and the Hymol, and you can see the Pale Orcs attacking Hymol from within when Cho'Gall is captured. Well, he actually allows for himself to get captured so that he can attack from within. Now the Pale are still quite mysterious, and their goals are not really known, at least at this point. It might be at the end of the expansion, like when we actually find out something, but at the moment, there is this whole mystery cloud going around them, and on the Dark Naru and the Void and what's going on with the entire thing. So hopefully soon we'll be able to find out what is actually going on and learn more about the entire thing. Alright, and that's all I have for this lore lesson. Thanks a lot for watching, and don't forget to leave your feedback and also leave your questions about the Pale Orcs, the Naru, the Dark Star, whatever you have. I will try to respond to as many questions as I can, although if someone doesn't respond, there's always people in the comment section that answer the question, so I'll try to do my best. And also feel free to leave your, like, suggestions on what lore video you would like to see next. And if you like the video, don't forget to like and subscribe if you're not subscribed already, as it really helps out the channel, it keeps all these videos going, and pretty much keeps the quality of the channel and the videos improving. Now, thanks a lot for taking the time out of your day to watch this video, and see you next time.
Dear me, I'm making this video for you, my former noob self, to help guide you in your journey through this strange new digital world you've entered. I know you're excited about the grand and wonderful adventure before you, but there are some things you need to know. First of all, when you run out of arrows, you need to buy more from the vendor in the big tree.
Well, I guess I'll just punch everything instead.
What are you doing, noob?
Also, you need to type /2 in order to reply to someone in trade chat. If you just start typing, they can't see it, and everyone around you will think you're crazy.
Hey, I said I'd like to join you. Hello? Are you there?
Who are you talking to, bro?
Oh, and when you do manage to make it into a dungeon, don't run off and attack things by yourself.
Dude, stop pulling.
Pulling? I'm trying to kill stuff.
You need to attack what the tank is attacking.
What's a tank?
When people are mean to you, it's totally fine to imagine them as a frantic 10-year-old screaming at their computer.
Stupid noob.
What did I do?
Wah, I'm bored and unsupervised. Wah.
Be careful with achievements. They're basically a Schedule 1 controlled substance for you.
Grats!
Wow, this feels amazing. I'm gonna dedicate my life to this.
Good plan.
Don't throw away any of your old gear if it looks cool, even though you've replaced it with better gear. Just trust me on this.
I keep all of my pretty old gear, just in case.
That's stupid. You'll never be able to do anything with it.
Don't worry, though, past me. You'll get the hang of things eventually. Soon you'll be just okay at the game instead of completely terrible. Until then, you just keep being you. Love, future Griff. P.S. Don't get too excited about Cataclysm and start learning to like pandas now.
Hey, I got your message.
Whoa, how did you get here?
I don't know. How did you send a video to the past? And why do you only talk about WoW stuff? You could have told me who wins the next presidential election, or what companies to invest in, or who wins the next 5 Super Bowls. We could be rich, man.
Oh, well, I thought it would be more fun to just make fun of you.
Wow, future me is kind of a jerk.
Hey, at least I'm internet famous.
Ha, yeah, right.
Okay, I guess just punching them is an effective strategy now.
And they're really smiley and happy, and that's why Chris is like it, by the way.
They staff robots who say, it was my pleasure.
That's why every time you order something. Everybody's nice there. Like, who complains about people being too nice?
Because they make them be nice. They make them be nice. They make them say my pleasure all the time, like it's a normal thing to say.
Or what? Or they whip them?
Yeah, they do.
I take
Come at me, Chick-fil-A. Come at me, bro.
I love you.